Muchas. Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, you have promised that when your word goes forth, you will accompany it, and it will not return to you void without accomplishing that purpose for which you sent it. We know this promise. And now, Lord, we ask that you would keep that promise in my own sake and for my own sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There are, in the world right now, last I read, which was just yesterday because I looked it up, 21 countries that are involved in a war right now in which at least 1,000 combatants have died in the past year. You've no doubt heard about Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Hezbollah and Palestine, and who knows what Iran's going to do. But most of these, probably, I would guess you've not heard of, that there's even a war going on that those countries are involved in. And yeah, that's quite a few people to be killed, over 1,000 in each one of them. And assuming that each one of those countries has, each one of those wars has two sides to it, then that would be some 11 or 12 different countries that are currently at war, and we've not even heard about most of those because they don't make a very big splash in the news media. There are people out there who like war. Winston Churchill is said to have liked war. In fact, he commented once that he liked war, at least certain aspects of war. There are soldiers who sign up with a company. There are companies out there that you can sign up with, and if you like the battlefield, they will sign you up and match you with a war that you can go and fight in. We used to call them mercenaries. Now they're more often called military contractors. And if you have some military experience and you like the thought of working, maybe fighting in a war zone, well, you can sign up with Blackwater, or there's some other companies that do the same thing, and you can go right into the conflict. I'm not taking a poll, but I'm guessing most of you probably aren't going to do that. Most of us probably would rather not go out and fight in a war for which we have no stake. Our own country is not involved in it. It may not have significance for your family or the future of our country. But there is a conflict in which you are signed up, or for which, rather, you are signed up. It's a war that will last the rest of your days on this earth, where day by day battles occur. And they occur not outside of you, but inside of you. It's an internal conflict in your mind and heart. Now, those internal conflicts often work their way outward into our actions. And our scripture lesson for this morning informs us about these hostilities. And our lesson is found in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. And here's what we read. And I'm going to read the ESV version. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit craves what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." There ends our passage for this morning, and that's the Word of God that we want to spend the next few minutes considering. It begins with verse 16, where Paul writes these words, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, what does Paul mean by desires of the flesh? Sometimes when the Bible uses the word flesh, it simply means our body or parts of our body, or what we're eating even sometimes. It uses the word flesh for that sometimes. But in this case, it refers to something else. It's what we call oftentimes the sinful human nature. And that nature, that sinful human nature, is something we all have. It's a little bit hard to describe. It's It's more like a condition, sort of like a genetic disease that someone is born with. It's a condition that we are born into, so that when you and I enter the world, we're already sinful. In fact, from the moment of conception, David says, I was conceived in sin, and in sin my mother bore me. And so because we were already in this condition when we were born, and you say to yourself, well, now, come on, how's going a baby be sinful? It's because its heart is turned away from God by nature. That's why. And so because of that, you and I, we didn't have to have anybody teach us how to be disobedient to our parents. I never had to have anybody teach me how to lie. I can still recall the first time I knowingly lied to my father. Youch, was that a painful mistake? And, well, you know what? It really wasn't a mistake at all. It was rebellion is what it was. Rebellion. And you know what? It came naturally to me. And had it not been painful, had my father not made sure it was painful, I would have done it again and again and again. I would have grown up lying to my parents. They had to teach me not to lie. They didn't have to teach me to lie. Well, what other works are of the sinful nature? Well, we don't have to wonder. Paul enumerates a bunch of them for us in the very next verse, the verse we didn't quite get to, verse 19. We stopped at 18. But he says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy and rage, rivalries, divisions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some of those are just repugnant, aren't they? Some of them are just repugnant to probably most of us who've been raised in the church. But have you ever been jealous? Oh, man, I bet you have. I have. You ever been angry about nothing much at all? Just woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and that comes to us naturally, doesn't it? You ever had impure thoughts? Paused on a web page that you should not have been visiting? Comes naturally to our sinful flesh. But now, a Christian, the Bible says, has been born anew. Born by the Spirit, by the water and the Word, the Bible says. And that means then, that means we have a new nature. And it means that we'll often feel as though we have two people living inside of one body. You have the old fleshly person that went into the waters of your baptism. And you have the new person who came out of the waters of your baptism. And you have a new nature that is born of the Spirit, that is dead to sin. But those two natures do not get along. And to make matters worse, the devil and the world, just as we sang in verse 5 a minute ago, they know just the right way to tempt us in ways that appeal to our sinful nature. Well, perhaps there are times the battle has raged so intensely in your mind that you ask the question, can't I ever be successful in fighting against this sinful nature that I have? And Paul tells us that we can. He says this, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that is the secret, if there is one, to living the Christian life that you want to live. By the way, it's not the secret to sinless perfection. That's not what Paul is teaching. If it was, why would we need a Savior? But it is a way to win more of those battles. But how in practical terms do we walk by the Spirit? Well, listen again to verse 18, and there's a contrast he makes here. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, to be led by the Spirit, we have to understand in what way we are led by the Spirit. We're not led by the Spirit in the same way that a choir director directs a choir and the choir follows his direction. Or a band director leads a band and the band follows his direction. Or an officer leads the soldiers under his command and they follow his direction. No, the way a Christian is led by the Spirit is more like the way that a truck pulls a trailer. The trailer follows the lead of a truck, but all the power that moves the trailer is located in the truck and not the trailer. And now let's relate this then to another passage. Galatians chapter 2, three chapters earlier. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live, what? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's that new person living in me. He lives by what? By faith. She lives by what? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you've now been united with Christ. And the life that the new person lives, how does it live it? By faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, there's a tool that God uses to grow your faith. He uses it to tweak your faith, to mold your faith, to shave off parts of your belief system that are not in accord with his, and to grow your faith. And that tool is his word. And he uses it to mold us through the years into his likeness. And specifically, the parts of his word that he uses to generate faith are the words of his promises. And so to begin to win these battles against our old nature, the answer isn't to muster up more willpower. I used to think that. And I found it never worked. The answer is to take into your mind his promises. Be transformed by what the Bible says? By the renewing of your mind. So take into your mind his promises. The promises that assure you that your sins, even yours, though they are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses you from all sin. That he has taken you up into his caring hands and is leading you day by day to your home in heaven. That he's listening to your prayers and that he will answer them. And that when you call upon him, he will answer you. That he bears your burdens. Carries your pain and your shame. He is the Father to the fatherless and the hope of all who trust in him. And then when you do trust him, after he works that faith in your heart and he molds you into his likeness, he will not let you be put to shame for having trusted him. He is at work in you to will and do for his good pleasure. Filling your mind with these truths that have been given to us by the Spirit. That's how we walk in the Spirit. Because by this word, he works in you and he works in me. So, write them out. Print them off. Tape them to your computer screen, these promises. Tape them to the bathroom mirror, to your refrigerator. And most importantly, believe them. Because they are absolutely true. And in believing them, then the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us rise, shall we? And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And our prayer for this morning is found on page 167. And if you would turn to page 167 in the four part of your hymnal, you will find it there. It is the second prayer that is listed under morning prayer. It's the second one that begins, O my crucified. Page 167 in the front part of the hymnary, the second prayer. We bow our head and pray. O my crucified Lord Jesus Christ, As the patient Lamb of God, you suffered for me the most shameful death on the cross, and with your precious blood, you redeemed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. I pray you to give me the assurance of this redemption through your word and sacraments, and to direct my heart by your Holy Spirit. Preserve me with your divine love, and hide me this day, both body and soul, in your holy wounds. Wash me from all my sins. Teach me to live a life of good works. And at the end, lead me from this world of sorrow to your eternal joy and glory. Hear me, my faithful Savior, my only comfort, hope, and my life, my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.